Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, topic heading. And we've written, Me'emosai Moinin Hashloisha Chadoshim. From what point do we count the required counting of 3 months shall isha shenisgarsha lifnei shetis chatein in baal sheni, before a woman is allowed to marry a second husband after she has been divorced, she has to count 3 months. From what point do we count in the case of a divorce? So Rav says mishas nesina, from the point that the document is given to the woman in her hands. Shmuel, Mishas Ksiva. And according to Shmuel, it's from the time of the writing. In other words, the date that you find in the get itself, which represents the date when it was written, is your starting point. Now, we mentioned the need for counting 3 months. In general, there is an idea, a legal concern regarding a woman who had been married and is now marrying a second man. Is she pregnant from the first husband? In order to, identify the father of the child, it's important to know if when she is marrying the second man, she, let us say, is pregnant. And of course, if she is, then the halacha will tell us she's not really allowed to marry him. But in order to establish whether there's pregnancy or not, we have to wait 3 months. After 3 months, a pregnancy is said to be noticeable. That is by way of general background. So now we turn to the Gemara, Itmar. Me'emosai moinin leget. From what point do we count the required 3 months when you're dealing with a woman who has been divorced? Rav Omar Mishas Nesina, from the point at which the woman is handed the document, when she's, we'll say, formally divorced. Ushmul Omar Mishas Ksiva, from the time the get is written. Maskif Lo Rav Noson Baroshia. Rav Noson asks, according to Shmuel, Lishmuel, who says you count 3 months from the writing, Yomru, people will say, in other words, you could have the following situation which would appear to be baffling in the eyes of the public. What's the situation? Yomru shtei noshim bechotzer achas. You have two women living in the same courtyard, married to two different men, and these two women received a get on the same day. Zu asura v'zu muteres. One woman will be muteres, and the other woman will have to wait 3 months. What do we mean by that? The two gittin that were handed to these two women, one happened to have been written 3 months earlier, and the other was written today. So the one, and they're both being, let's say, actually divorced today. So how could that be? Let's take a look at the Rashi. Shnei noshim b'chotzer achas shel odom echad shepiresh liyam umosar shnei gitim l'shtei noshim bo b'yam. We have to make a correction in the example we gave, and that is the two women were married to the same man. That is really perplexing. In other words, according to Talmudic law, a man can be married to two women. That's not a problem. But one wife will be able to marry immediately, and the other will have to wait 3 months. One had the get written a month before the other one. According to Shmuel, one woman will be allowed to marry after 2 months, and the other woman will be allowed to marry after 3 months. Yitzmehu b'nei Adam shirosh nizgarshu b'yomechad. It will be surprising in the eyes of the public to see two women that received the get the same day, and yet their permission to marry a second husband will be at a gap of a month from one another. The Gemara answers. Gemara says, Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds to Rav Nosson's wonderment, Zu zman gita mochiach oleha, v'zu zman gita mochiach oleha. Each one has a divorce document with a clear date in it, so that you don't have to worry about people being amazed. People will see that one has a get that's dated a month earlier than the other one. Tanyo kavosei de Rav, tanyo kavosei de Shmuel. We have Tanaic sources supporting both of these points of view. Hasholeach get liishto v'nishto shliach b'derech shloisha chadoshim. Man sends a get to his wife, and the agent for conveyance tarries 3 months en route. Kishiyagia get liyoda tzricha lahamtin shloisha chadoshim. When the get reaches the woman, she then has to wait 3 months. That's the shita of Rav, that we wait 3 months from the time of the giving. Uleget yoshon ein choshishin, sharei lo nisyached imo. Now here's a concept that we haven't run into, but it will be discussed later in the Masechta often, and that is get yoshon, literally an old get. The classic case of get yoshon is a get that was prepared, and it has a date in it, and after the get was prepared, even though he hasn't given it to her, or since he hasn't yet given to her, you can have a situation where a woman's divorce document was prepared with a date, and the husband after that has intimacy with her. 9 months after the intimacy, a child is born, and when they compare the child's birth and rolling the clock 9 months backwards, they look at the woman's divorce document, and the date of the divorce is more than 9 months ago. He had the intimacy after the get was written. So if he wrote a get and then waited 2 months, and a month after having written the get, he has intimacy with a woman who technically is still his wife. So 9 months after the intimacy, a child is born, but 10 months before the child's birth, a get was written with a date in it, and people will think that the child was born after she's already been divorced. It's a type of znus. I'm not sure you can use the term out of wedlock, but if that's the term, so be it. And we want to avoid children, let's say, bearing that stigma of having been born from a woman that was impregnated while not married. So our Tanaic source that we just read said, you don't have to worry about that. Why not? Because the man who wrote the get did not have yichud with her. He was not in private with her. In other words, there was no intimacy. So you don't have to worry about the fact that the get took 3 months to get to her. In other words, when it finally got to her, it had a date that was 3 months earlier, and maybe the husband had been with her in intimacy prior to her actual receiving of the get. But when you check out the age of the child versus the get that she has, it will appear that the get was written before, or the get preceded her impregnation. You don't have to worry about that because he was not in private with her. Tanya Kavose de Shmuel. And a Tanaic source supporting Shmuel that says that the 3-month waiting period is from the time of the writing of the get. Hamashlish get liishto. Rashi across from here says Hamashlish mosar haget lisholish. Sholish is a third party. A man entrusted a get to a third party. Kedei the garshaboy lesoif shlisha chadashim hulach ledako. The husband made an arrangement with some third party, saying to him, "You're my agent to give her the get 3 months from now." And in the meantime, the husband went on his way. So that's the case of Mashlish. She entrusted a get to a third party who would give it to the woman 3 months later. The Omar lo, and the husband said, "Al titneu lo eloliachar shlosha chadashim." The husband's instructions to the Sholish, do not give it to her until the passage of 3 months. Mishenosnu lo muteris linose miad. When the get is given to the woman, she can get married immediately. That shows us that the 3 months that were required were observed because 3 months had gone by since the writing. That is what Shmuel taught above. Ule get yoshon ein choshishin. The problem of the get yoshon doesn't arise here. Sharei lo nisyachinimo. Because we're talking about cases where the husband, left the picture quite early in the game. He left the picture, let's just say, as soon as the get was written. Rav Kahanov, Rav Popi, Rav Ashi. There are 3 Rabbonim here. Avdi, Mishas, Ksiva. They ruled that the 3-month period is from the time of the writing of the get. In other words, the date that appears in the get. Rav Popov, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua. These 2 Rabbonim, Avdi, Mishas, Nesina. They demanded waiting 3 months from the time she receives the get. The Hilchasa, Mishas, Ksiva. And the Gemara itself rules, like the first opinion here of the 3 Rabbonin, that you wait 3 months from the time of the get's writing. And we have a new topic on the side under the Nosei. We've written Me'emosai Ksubo Mishametes Shnas Hashmita Kisha'ar Shtar Chov. If you're not familiar, then let's take a moment or two to speak about the rules of Shmita vis-a-vis monies that are owed. If a person borrowed money, he's of course expected to pay back his loan. If he hasn't paid back the loan and a Shemitah year passed by, the loan from the Torah standpoint is canceled. We're not going to get into the halachas of Prusbol, which in fact are discussed later in this Masechta, but for the time being we're speaking on a purely Torah level. That is, loans are canceled after a Shemitah year passes by. Does that mean that all monies that people owe are canceled? No, that's not true. The basic Shemitah law applies to loans. There's discussions concerning other debts that people have. If, let's say, someone bought something and hasn't paid for it yet, and Shemitah goes by, does that mean he doesn't have to pay for it? Or workers' wages. People did work and they didn't get paid. In the meantime, Shemitah went by. Does that mean they don't get paid? We're going to work right now with the understanding that Shemitah affects loans. Other kinds of payments are not affected by Shemitah. So, if a woman, let us say, got divorced, and she didn't receive her ksuva payment yet, the ksuva payment is the financial guarantee that a woman receives from her husband at the point of marriage in the event that she gets divorced or she becomes a widow. So there's an amount of money that she is entitled to receive from his estate as per that which is written in the Ksuba. So the Ksuba is a type of financial obligation, a debt, if you will, but not, it's not a loan, quite obviously. No money was borrowed. It's an obligation that exists. So a woman, let us say, got divorced prior to a Shemitah year, and a Shemitah year went by. Does that affect the Ksuba? So in a sterile fashion, no, the Shemitah doesn't affect the Ksuba. It's not a loan. Is there a situation that the Ksuba could turn into a loan in halachic terms? When we say a loan, of course, the woman didn't borrow money. But halachically speaking, can it be treated like a loan and then the Shemitah would cancel it? That is the issue at hand. Now the Gemara. Itmar, me'emosai ksuba mishametis. At what point does is a ksuba going to be treated like a loan that would be canceled by Shemitah? Mishametis, you see the word shomat or Shemitah in that word. That's the idea. Shemitah will affect it, will cancel it. Now, in general, Shemitah doesn't affect things like what we call a maisa bezin, a court provision. The ksuba, in general, is viewed as a court provision, as a maisa bezin. Shvius wouldn't cancel it, as we said before. At what point does it lose its status, the ksuba lose its status as a maisa bezin and become viewed as a standard bill of debt? Rav Omar, mishetif goim vetiz koif. The word tifgom means partial payment. If a woman received partial payment of the ksuba, it shows us that she is on her way to demand payment of the balance. So that the tifgom element creates the image that the ksuba is now not just a court provision, but it's a debt that's owed. She received partial payment, as we said. She will be intent on getting paid the balance. Just like a person who has loaned money is seeking to get his money back. Vetizkov, we look at Rashi across from here. Vetizkov, alav hamoisar, the balance is then, we'll say, literally, tizkof means to be stood up. It means to be categorized or transmuted into a loan. The tizkof alav hamosar b'milva, the balance, is then viewed as a debt. The nafka la mishum ksuba umaisa bezin then loses its status as a ksuba and a court provision, she'eno mishame, that wouldn't be affected by Shemitah, v'chal alo shem shtar chov, and then it becomes categorized as a shtar chov, a bill of debt. The Gemara continues with another opinion, u'shmul amar, pogmo afal pi shelo zokfa, zokfa afal pi shelo pogmo. According to Shmuel, one or the other is enough to convert the ksuba into a shtar chov. Pogma, as we said before, has to do with her having received partial payment. And even if she didn't convert it or transmute it into a milveh, or if she zokfa, she transmuted it into a milveh without having received partial payment. The Gemara doesn't detail procedurally what does zokfa mean, so we have nothing more to go on for right now other than what Rashi says is zokfa, he says bimilve, or before we said in the case of partial payment that it's no longer categorized as a ksuba, but rather as a debt that's owed. As often happens in giving a Gemara shiur, during the actual delivery, one notices or recalls things that should have been said earlier. As far as the definition of zokaf alav b'milveh, you'll see in the Tosfos Rid on the fourth wide line, he says u'me'emosai nizkofim b'milveh. At what point does a ksuba get this new status as a milveh. Mishas hamoda bedin alaksuba, that from the time that the we'll say the woman appears in court saying, I want my ksuba paid. So that is, in general, lo kaima le guvayno miyad. The ksuba is not there for immediate collection. Elo le mizonos. The ksuba includes in it the provision that a husband is obligated to provide maintenance for his wife. And a woman who, let's say, becomes an almona, if she becomes widowed, so she continues to receive support from his estate. So that the ksuba, in and of itself, is not... it's not there as an immediate, or viewed as an immediate bill of collection. The Hilkoch calls Manshini Zainis Venetivas Ksubasalo Krino Boloyigos. As long as a woman, in this case an almona, is deriving mizonos and she's not demanding her ksuba, she is not in the position of one to, yigos means to pressure for collection. And when Shemitah passes, so we're instructed not to collect. So it's the ksuba, as long as it hasn't hasn't had a hamoda bedin, the woman hasn't gone to court with her demand for payment, it's not under the category of the prohibition of trying to collect debts after the shmita year. Mishum hachi ena meshametis, since in principle the woman isn't seeking payment of the ksuba. Therefore, the passage of Shemitah doesn't cancel it. What does Shemitah cancel? It cancels those kinds of debts that a person is attempting to collect, loans that a person is attempting to collect. So we've added a little bit of clarity to what Zokfa Lo B'Milveh is. That is when she appears in court trying to collect the basic ksuba payment. Now the Gemara. We... have a topic heading. Well, I should say we have a brises here that support each one of these opinions. Very similar structure, by the way, to the Gemara before, where we had a machlokis, Rav and Shmuelnin. The Gemara presented brises supporting each one, and that's what you have here. Tanya kavosei de Rav, Tanya kavosei de Shmuel. Tanya kavosei de Rav, a brisa supporting Rav, that said the ksuba is mishtametis, is canceled by virtue of the passage of a shmitir only if both elements were present. She received partial payment and there had been hamoda bedin. Meimos haiksuba mishametis, mishetivgoim vitizkof. Pogma velo zokfa, zokfa velo pogma, eino mishametis, ad shetivgoim vitizkof. Until both elements are present. Tanya kavosi de Shmuel, and now a Tanaic source supporting Shmuel. The source lists a couple of different payments that the Torah accounts for. Oines is a case where a man rapes a woman. There are more details to it than that for right now, but just the basic is halach concerns rape. The Torah says if that happens, a man has to pay the virgin maiden that he raped. He has to pay her father 50 shekel kesef, 50 pieces of silver. That's a payment, ones. Uknas. Knas is the payment for someone who is motzi shame ra, who claims about the woman that he married that she had relations with some other man when in fact she did not. Upitui. Pitui is the payment for seduction. Uksubas isha. Of course, our topic. Shezokfon b'milveh mishamtin. V'imlavein mishamtin. If zekifa b'milveh took place, we explained the courtesy of the Tosis Rid that if the one collecting went to court seeking its collection, then Shemitah, if it passes by in the interim before the payment is made, the payment won't have to be made. V'imlav ein mishamtin. If it didn't experience zokfon b'milveh, so then Shemitah won't cancel it. Me'imos ha'nizkofen b'milveh. And here is what we saw before in the name of the Tosis Rit, but here it appears in the Gemara itself. From what point is zekifa b'milveh? Mishas hamodo b'din. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that reads under the Nosei Machlokis Rav Shmuel, Ksuba shenichtava b'yoim v'nechtama ba'layla. A ksuba that is written by day and the signing of the witnesses is at night. By way of general introduction, I'm sure everyone is aware that a person who owes money is subjected to a lien on his properties. Dates in documents that entitle people to collect money are very significant. Those dates will affect properties that the person who has the debt may have sold. If a person sells properties prior to incurring the debt, so obviously there is no lien on those properties. Properties that are sold after the person incurred a debt, so the purchasers must be aware that they bought a property from someone that already owed money to someone else, and that someone else has a first claim on the property. That is the issue of shibud nechosim, and that is determined by when the debt was established. Part of the rules here involve creating awareness on the part of the public that the person has a debt. For example, an oral loan, it's called a milval peh, a person borrows money without writing a document. So the one who loaned the money is taking a source, is reducing his chances of collection, because a loan that's done orally does not create public awareness, so that people who purchase property subsequent to the loan from the borrower are not aware that he owed money. And as a result, in order to protect them, we tell them, we say, the halacha says, that the lender cannot go to those purchasers because they were not on notice. They were not aware. What creates the public awareness? So, in general, the idea of public awareness is created by the presence of the witnesses. The signing of the witnesses on the document. The Gemara. Omar Shmuel. Ksubo kemaisa bezdin damyo. Ma maisa bezdin nichtovim b'yoyim v'nechtovim b'alayla. Ksuba is like a court ruling. And court rulings are written out by day, and they're signed at night. Everyone, I'm sure, knows that in Jewish law, the night represents a new calendar date. The changeover from day 23 to day 24, or day 1 to day 2, or whatever, is at sundown. So that a Maisa Besdin, a court ruling, where the court rules so-and-so is obligated to pay money, it's written out. The final ruling can be written out by day, and the signing might be the night that following night, and that is not considered a predated bill of obligation. It's not called mukdam. The problem, of course, with ashtar mukdam is it reflects it would have reflected a debt that had not really been incurred, and you would then be seizing from purchasers unlawfully. Nevertheless, when it comes to a Maisa Besdin, they can be written by day and signed at night. So too a Ksuba can be written by day and signed at night. We look at Rashi. Ma Maisa Besdin Chiyuve Mishum Sakdin. A person becomes obligated because of a court ruling. Who? V'afagav delo ichtim, even though it hasn't been signed. Hilkoch ein shom hakdoma. V'nechtovim b'yom v'nechtovim b'alayla. The person becomes obligated as soon as the court rules, even though it hasn't been signed yet. So it can be written by day a date is written into it. Even though the signing takes place at night, it's not called a predated document. Af ksuba mishas ksiva, tenichnesa lechupa, at the time of its writing, that the woman enters the marriage canopy, the kiruv chasnesu, chayel shibuda, her lien or her claims on the husband's property starts from that moment. The afagav de lo ichtem, even though it hasn't been signed. Let's go back to the Gemara. Ksubosa de Rebbi Chiya bar Rav. The ksuba of Rebbi Chiya, the son of Rav, ichtiv b'yoyim v'ichtim b'layla, it was written by day and signed at night. Havi Rav Chosom, Rav was there, v'lo omar lehu v'lo midi, and he didn't say anything. Lema kishmuel svirulation, we say that Rav holds like Shmuel, that that's standard procedure, that a ksuba can be written by day and signed at night. The Gemara says, no, we're not going to say that Rav holds like Shmuel. What was the case with Rav Chiya bar Rav? Asukin ba'oisoi inyan havu. Rashi says, asukin ba'oisoi inyan havu, miksiva v'achsima. There was no break in preoccupation between the writing and the signing. There was, they were sitting continually from the daytime hours when the ksuba was written until the signing took place after dark. This situation of asukin, ba'oisinian, asukin means involved, ba'oisinian, in that very matter, that is what is okay. And in other words, but to have something written at midday and then signed later that night with many hours gap between and break in concentration, break in preoccupation with that matter, not necessarily so, according to Rav. We continue in the Gemara. Desanya, Omer of Lozer Berbi Tzadok, Lo Shanu Elo Kishein Asukin Bois Inyan. The idea of Niftav B'yoyim and Nechtam B'layla in general by other documents are being disqualified, as being puzzled. That's only if they're not asukin b'yisinyan, aval asukin b'yisinyan kosher. We take a look at Rashi, he explains a little bit more. Aval asukin b'yisinyan, across from here, Rashi says, kevon sheha edim mizumonim lachtomi, since the witnesses are there to sign. Elo shebal korchem tzichem lahamten ad shisayim asuifer seshtar. Technically, though, they just have to wait until the scribe finishes writing the body of the document. Afagav disrami lechasimulurti, even though the actual signing is going to take place at night, bearing in mind the date is from the previous day, kosher, it's okay, it's not called a predated document. Sharei mishas ksivo nami isle kola. This is the main point I wanted to get to. From the time of the writing, in that case, my assumption is because the witnesses are already on the scene, that creates public awareness. And therefore, the lien is established already from the writing. And therefore, you're not unlawfully subjecting anyone who purchased that day to an unfair claim on that property, if it should come to it. Rabbi Shimon Machshir, this is a reference to what we saw in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon is Machshir, a get that's written by day and signed at night. Omar Rava, my time of Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon accept a get where the writing at the date is reflecting the time the get is written, when the signing didn't take place until the following night? Kosovar, and we pointed out that the issue of the get affects the husband's rights to sell the fruits of his wife's properties, the peros nichse maluk. When a man divorces his wife, he can no longer sell the fruits. And if he does, so the wife can then go to the purchasers and demand compensation. They bought something they had no right to buy. Now, a get that's written by day and signed at night, the husband, technically speaking, you would have thought, has a right to sell the fruits all through that day. However, the woman, being that the Reb Shimon rules the get is kosher, the woman is going to be able to take that get, and if anyone bought fruits from the husband that day, she'll show the get with that date that she was divorced from that date, even though technically she wasn't until the following day because it was signed at night. So how does Reb Shimon legitimatize this arrangement? Very simply, Kosova, Reb Shimon holds. Kevan Shinosan Einov Legarsha, once the husband decides to divorce her, Shuv Ein Lo Peros, the husband has no right to fruits. He has no right to sell his wife's fruits. So what are we saying? Even though he hasn't physically divorced her yet, but he's decided to divorce her, and that's manifest by his writing up of the get. If that woman then seizes from purchasers who bought the fruits sold to them by the husband from on that date of the get's writing, they really had no right to buy from him at that early point. On the side, we have a topic heading, the Nosei. It says, Loma Rabbi Shimon Machshir Get Shenichta B'Yom V'Nechtam B'Layla. We started this already, and we explained why Rabbi Shimon allows such a get. The reason being that a husband loses the right to sell from the point that he decides to divorce her. Omar Reish Lokish Lohich Rabbi Shimon Eloli Alter. We're going to see here a machlokis between Rabbi Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan regarding how far does Rabbi Shimon go when he says, Kivon Shinos and Einov Legarsha Shuvain Lo Peros, namely from the time of the get's writing, he loses the right to sell. So Reish Lakish says Rabbi Shimon allows this only if things are immediate, meaning the get has date of day one, and the signing was the following night. Avol mikan viad asoro yomim lo. But having a get written on day one and then signed on day 10, that no. And we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Chayshinon Shema Pies. We're afraid that maybe he appeased the wife. Rashi says at the top, Shema Pia says, Ishto Besoch Tach, within those 10 days, he might have resolved his domestic strife, and Ubo Aleo, and had intimacy with her, bearing in mind the get has already been written up with a date in it. And as we said earlier in today's shiur, intimacy that takes place after the get is written is a problem of having get yoshan. That's, therefore we have Reish Lakish's point that Rav Shimon is machshir a get that's written by day and signed night. It's only if it's literally the following night, so there isn't any time gap during which the husband may have come back to good terms with his wife, and then as Rashi explained, maybe he was boleh, and then you would have a get yoshan. For Reb Yochanan Omar afilu mikan viada sora yomim yemisa de pies. If that really took place, that the husband resolved his domestic quarrels, then kolo is lei lemilsa. It would be well known. What do you mean that by that? It would be well known. A feuding couple is not something that remains a private matter. People, the neighbors hear about it. And if he appeased her, they would have noticed a quiet silence there. And then it would be well known, and you wouldn't have to worry about the problem of a get yoshan. Rashi says at the top, Kola Islay Lamilsa Shashchenim Vashchena Shemin Tagu Ktota Shabenish Lishta. The neighbors hear the feuding between the husband and wife. Kasher Yishkod Esrivam Hakol Margishim. And when the fighting stops, everyone becomes aware. My understanding of that is that if then he eventually does divorce her, people will know that the pregnancy that had set in was before the actual divorce took place. We have a new topic heading on the side. Omar la'asoro kisvu get lishteya. Man turns to a group of 10 people and he instructs them to write up a get for his wife, the Gemara. Itmar, Omar la soro kisvu get lishti. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, shnayim mishum edim v'kulam mishum tnai. Of the 10 people that sign the divorce document, 2 of them are signing as witnesses, and the rest are signing to fulfill his condition. Reish Lakish omar kulam mishum edim. Reish Lakish says, no, they all have the status of witnesses. These terms sound a bit abstract. You'll ask, well, what difference does it make? They're all signing, aren't they? So we look at the side, and also as the Gemara progresses, practical halachic differences will be revealed. In the meantime, Rashi on the fourth line from the top says v'kulan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the balance of the signers are for tenai, fulfillment of conditions. Lo hichtimbo ela levaisha barabim. The husband's intention was simply to create a sense of embarrassment for the wife. Utanai gomer hitel beget said the lolevi gita elohim kain chosman bo kulam. And this get is totally dependent on this condition that it won't be a get unless they all sign. But the husband's intention was for them to be there to accentuate the element of embarrassment. Reish Lakish explained that they're all signing as witnesses. Let's continue in the Gemara. Heichi Domi. First of all, what's the case? We have here diamonds that highlight the progress of analysis on the side under the Mivneh heading. These are Shlavim, Kedei Lavin, Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, B'maya Askinan. What are the circumstances in this case when we said he turned to 10 people? If he did not say, he didn't say that word, all of you. He was in the presence of 10 people, but he didn't say all of you should write it. The ha'atnan, omar la sora kisvu get lishti, echad koisei v'shnayim choismen. If a person addressed 10 people and he said, write a get for my wife, one writes and two sign. That's it, just two sign. That's not like Rabbi Yochanan nor Reish Lakish. So what are the circumstances of the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? Elo diomar lahu kulchem. He said, I want all of you to sign. And then we saw, Rabbi Yochanan says, two are serving as witnesses and the others are just to fulfill his condition. And Reish Lakish says, they all have the status of witnesses. My binayu. What is the point of difference between them? The triangles highlight, as we indicate on the side, hevdelim bein kulchem mishum tanai o mishum edim. What the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? The Gemara continues. Mai binayu iko binayu dechosum beitre minayu biyoyime veinoch mikan veara sor yomim. Let's say two of them signed on the day the get was written, and the other 8 signed over the course of 10 days before the get was given to her. So that by the time the get was given to her, then they all had signed. But the balance of them, the other 8, didn't sign on the day the get was written. Man diomar mishum tanai kosher. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who said it's only to fulfill his desire. In other words, all of their signing is to fulfill his condition. His seeking her embarrassment, so the get is okay. Uman Yomishum Adim, Reish Lakish, who said they're signing as witnesses. posel. We look at Rashi. Across from here, Rashi says, Amadim Rishamedim, posel, Delohavi, Edu Shlemo, Ad Shechtim Ukulam. It's not considered complete testimony until they all sign. So, and since they didn't all sign on the day the get was written, it's a get whose date is considered early. It's a predated divorce document. And we saw in the Mishnah that only Reb Shimon would entertain the possibility of a get written by day and then signed at night, but the Rabbonim don't accept that. So here you have the get written on day one, and the witness completion didn't take place till 10 days later. That's a predated get, and that's not acceptable. We continue in the Gemara. Inami kegoin shenimtza echad mehem koroi v'opossel. Another difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish would be if one of these 10 were found to be a relative or a person who is not fit to serve as a witness. Laman diomar mishum tanai. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the balance of their signatures is only to fulfill the husband's embarrassing desires, it's kosher. And the fact that you have someone who is who would be disqualified as a witness, but he's not signing on as a witness, so it's okay. Laman diomar mishum edim, according to Reish Lakish, who says that all of them are signing under the rubric of testimony. So if one of them is found to be a disqualified witness, a person who's unfit to serve as a witness, then this get will be possible. You can't have a disqualified witness signing. According to the opinion that it's Mishum Tanai, I chosum betchila korov opossel. Let's say of the first signature was a relative or an unfit individual. One of the first two signatures. Two is the minimum number of witnesses to serve as testimony. And what will the din be if you hold that that eight of the signatures are to fulfill his condition of embarrassment, but they're not there as actual witnesses? What is going to be if one of the first two witnesses happened to be the one of, or I should say, one of the first two signers is a Korov apostle? Amri law kosher, the Amri law apostle. Some say it's okay, and some say it's not okay. Amri law kosher, the opinion that says it's okay, that's Tanai Hu. The presence of all these different signers was to fulfill a condition. It's true that the first two that are there are unqualified to serve as witnesses. So I'll use the balance of the names. I'll find two names from the continuation of the list that are kosher. And there I've got my two kosher witnesses. And the Korov apostle that appear even at the beginning will simply be to fulfill his Tanai, his conditions. Amri lo apostle, there are those that say if one of the first two signatures is an unqualified witness, the get will be disqualified, will be voided, because osi lechlufi b'shtaras d'almo. People will think, if we say this is kosher and they see the first two names happen to be either relatives or unfit people signing on, people think in general you can have a korov or apostle to sign as witnesses. We take a look at Rashi. First, across from here, Rashi's Amri lo kosher, lamadam mimishum tanai, according to the opinion that says that that having all of them sign is for tanai purposes, and the first two that sign on are unqualified individuals for witness for testimony purposes. The afagav the ichdem bereisha korov apostle ha'edus tiskayim beruim leidus. The need for actual testimony in the get will be fulfilled with one of the other guys that signed on. For who yechoshev l'tanai the mistamo es aksherim mino l'shem edus va korov l'tanai. It's most likely that he appointed the the korov or pasul, the relative, or the pasul would include people that are thieves, sinners of all kinds. They are not fit to serve as witnesses. So they are there just to add to the tanai, his condition, seeking her embarrassment. And of the others, amongst the others, you have kosher people, they will serve as the necessary witnesses. The next Rashi, since the Karav Apostle signed on at the beginning, the first two, they're definitely there for witnessing purposes, for testimony purposes. The people think that a Karav, a relative, is kosher as a test, as a witness in all documents. Let's turn back to our Gemara. Hahu di Omar Lahu Vasora. Man said to a group of 10 people, and Rashi adds, he said, Kulchem, like the Gemara mentioned before, in the, we'll say, the second diamond in the upper part of the page. He said to them, Kulchem, Kisvuget Ishti, Chosum Beitre Minaya Biyome, Vinoch Mikan Varasora Yomim. So in this case, you had two of them signed on that day that it was written, and the rest of them signed in the course of 10 days. Also, the Kami of Shuvan Levi, this case came to Rav Shuvan Levi. Now, what do we have then? We have a get that's written on, let's say, day one, and the signatures appear. When we say the signatures, bear in mind, he said, "I want all of you to sign on." So the signatures appear over the course of the progressive days. So is this a good get? So the case came to Rav Shimon Levi, Omar Lay, and Rav Shimon Levi told the fellow who brought the question, we continue at the top of Daf Yud Tes. Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon lismoich olav b'shas hadchak. Even though Rav Shimon is not the, we'll say, the accepted opinion, but since we have a case already where the get was already written up, Rashi says, and the husband is not around anymore. If we are not machshir this, then the woman is going to remain an aguna. He's not around anymore, or maybe she already married with this get. So he says, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, you can rely on Rabbi Shimon under post facto circumstances. Pshas hadchak means under pressing circumstances, as we explained. What does that mean to rely on Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon is the one in the Mishnah that said that if its get is written by day, so it has the date of day one, and it's signed at night, so that the signing takes place disjointed from the day, the date that's in the get, it's still okay. The Gemara has a couple of questions on this, and that's what these house markings represent. The Omar Reish Lakish, Lo Hichshu Reb Shimon Elo Le'alter. Reish Lakish qualified Reb Shimon and said that Reb Shimon's allowance for this disjointed element between the signing and the initial writing is only if it's immediate. I mean, day one was the writing of the get with the date, and day two, the nighttime that followed day one, immediately after day one, the witness is signed on. Avol mikan ve'arasora yomim lo, but Reb Shimon doesn't go that far to allow up to a 10-day gap. Well, what's Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi saying when he says you can rely on Reb Shimon? The Gemara answers, Bahi k'Reb Yochanan Svirolei, regarding this issue of how much time between the signing and the initial writing Reb Shimon would allow, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi will say, we follow Reb Yochanan's interpretation of Reb Shimon, and Reb Yochanan's interpretation of Reb Shimon was even up till 10 days, like we saw the earlier part of today's shir. V'ho amar Rabbi Yochanan shnaya mishum edim v'kula mishum tanai. But if you're saying that you're relying on Rabbi Yochanan said that two are signing as witnesses and the rest are signing as a tanai. And if that be the case, we don't really care about the time frame that the others sign. And therefore, even according to the Rabbonon, this would be all right. So why would Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say that, well, it's we're relying on Rabbi Shimon as a shas hatchak? After all, this was a case of a man saying to 10 people, Kulchem kisvi al ishti. And Rabbi Yochanan himself said that two are for witness purposes, the rest are for Tanai purposes. So why would Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi limit this to Rabbi Shimon when, according to Rabbi Yochanan represents the Rabban, he doesn't represent only Rabbi Shimon, when he says that the rest, the balance of them are Rabbi Shum Tanai. The Gemara says, Bahi Kureish Lokish Svir Le Rabbi Shuben Levi holds like Reish Lokish when it comes to the status of Kulchem, the status of the Kulchem, they're all signing as witnesses. And once you say they're all signing as witnesses, so then we're limiting ourselves to Rabbi Shimon's approach. Now, once you're within Rabbi Shimon's approach, then we'll accept Rabbi Yochanan, who says Mikan the Adasora Yomen, but within Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that Rabbi Shimon is Kedai. It's, you can rely on him, even though it's not a first choice, but it's Shas Hadchak, it's pressing circumstances, as we explained earlier. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.